Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Wamsley.
Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and help begins. I'm your host, Del Wamsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, we've got a special Thanksgiving edition where we're going to share some ideas that might be, controversial, quite a bit controversial. But as usual, I'm the contrarian to everything you've ever thought would be true in life, so we're going to go ahead and take a shot at this and see if we can work something out that makes some sense for you. Now, let's start with the concept of being Thanksgiving, thanking for your givings, okay? I think what's happened in our society is that the societal and religious pressure to be thankful for what you have is misunderstood to mean be happy with what you have and what you are, which is sounds like a play on words, right? Just be thankful or be happy. I think that you should be thankful for things that you have, but not happy with things that you have. It's interesting. Let's go at it a little bit and see what we did. The thing that I'm most satisfied for, the thing that I'm most thankful for in my life, is that God created a dissatisfied creature on this earth. You say, well, Del, that's ridiculous. Why do you want to be a dissatisfied creature? Because everything that mankind does, it does to avoid pain or to gain pleasure. And if you're satisfied, you're going to accomplish nothing in life. You're going to sit there and do nothing. I looked up the definition of satisfaction, and it had, you know, multiple different definitions. The one that caught my attention said, confident acceptance of something as satisfactory and dependably true. So when I was a kid, I was 200 pounds in fourth grade, I was a little fat kid. My parents told me that I should love myself. My mother said, you're a unique individual. You should love yourself for being a unique individual. And I said, okay, I love myself for being a unique individual, but I'm still a fat slob that can't see. He's almost blind and has his hair cut shaved back to his head every single week or month by his dad with a pair of clippers that we used to, you know, to shear horses. So I looked like a piece of garbage. People treated me like a piece of garbage. And I was unsatisfied, right? So I looked up the word unsatisfied. Dissatisfaction, found many definitions. This is the one that struck home to me. It says, dissatisfaction results from contemplating what falls short of one's wishes and or expectations. So I may be thankful for my health. You know, I've gone through a lot of health problems since I've turned 60 years old. I may be thankful that I got through staph and I got through cancer and I got through two shoulder operations, an elbow operation and a knee operation. I might be thankful that I got through those, but I sure as heck don't have to be happy about that. I am not satisfied with my fitness. You know, you can say, well, you should be satisfied because you're 60, you should be satisfied with your rent. No, I don't believe in anything that comes close to being satisfied when something's dissatisfactory. And so I will continue to get up in the morning, put on workout gear, watch my diet, take my vitamins, and go to the gym and work out. Go to doctors regularly to manage my medications because I have a level of satisfaction that I am looking forward to in the way I look and the way I feel and the way people interact with me because of the way I look and feel. Because if I'm unhappy about me, nobody else is going to like me. So I don't believe in this. But what would the world have you to believe out there right now? You know, the world's got these sayings they want you to live by. Don't worry, be happy. You know, you're sitting there, got an email the other day from a guy, said, my mother's 75 years old and she doesn't have very much money and she looks like she's going to live for a long time. What should I do? You know, I'm sitting there going, I don't have an answer to that. If your mother's going to live to be 100 years old and she has no money, That's a problem. So you may not want your mother to worry, but she can't be happy. You may not want to worry about your mother, but you can't be happy with that situation. You've got to go take action of some type, whether it's take care of your mother, move her in with you, you know, to lower her bills, or find some way to invest her money with you safely where it won't be lost so you can build some income for her. Whatever it is, if you just maintain the status quo of don't worry and be happy, your mother might run out of money and things will be terrible. But you'll be happy and you won't be worried. Does that really do us any good? See, dissatisfaction with our life, that's what drives us. You know, dissatisfaction, I got to read this again. Dissatisfaction results from contemplating what falls short of one's wishes and expectations. Wishes and expectations. Wow. So you're in an abusive marriage. You should be happy with what you got, right? Your husband knocks the snot out of you on a regular basis. Your kids treat you like garbage. Your husband doesn't talk to the kids or play with the kids. And your life is just quiet desperation. But here on Thanksgiving, you should be thankful. You want to be thankful in the same manner as the story goes with the guy who said, I used to be sad because I had no shoes until I met a man with no feet. Wow. That really hits home for most of us, doesn't it? I should be happy where I'm at. Let us explain. Lifestyles Unlimited takes people, and financially, we teach them how to build their wealth, increase their income, and eventually retire in a very short period of time. Nowhere along the line are we telling them to be unhappy. We're just telling them to be dissatisfied. Be dissatisfied with the things that they told you that you thought would be true. In other words, confident. What is satisfaction? Confident acceptance of something as satisfactory, dependable, and true. So when they tell you that you're going to be able to put money in a 401k and it's going to work, you're satisfied that it's true. But it's not true. It's not working. It doesn't work. There's a problem with that thought process. And that thought process is no action. As long as you're satisfied, you'll take no action. You have to be dissatisfied. So what I'm trying to get across here on Thanksgiving is this. You may be thankful for what you got, but you should not be happy with what you got unless you have everything you want. Now, I have all the money I need. Don't really want a lot more money. That's not one of my big wants anymore. A long time ago, it was a gigantic want. Now my wants are I want to be happy. I want to be fit. I want to be healthy. I want to live. I don't want to die tomorrow. You know, strange, but your needs change. And yet, they'll still come up with sayings like, if you don't have what you want, be satisfied with what you have. Huh. Or I like the one about your relationship. If you can't be with the one you want, then love the one you're with. Yes, let's love the abusive, unloving spouse, male or female, whoever it happens to be in the family, that just abuses and terrorizes everybody in the family. By the way, that's interesting because you have Thanksgiving dinners coming about, and you're now going to have all these people come together with all of their different belief systems. And then you realize there is no true, there is no right or wrong. You have 75 to 80% of the people in your family that have no aspirations whatsoever, and they're going to be telling you, love yourself because you're a unique individual. The fact that you're 300, 400 pounds means nothing. The fact you can hardly breathe when you walk up a set of stairs means nothing. The fact you have no money and you live in a hovel and you're living off welfare and food stamps means nothing. None of those things are problematic because you're a unique individual. Boy, that's about as dumb as a rock as I've ever heard in my entire life. And I'm so thankful that God made me dissatisfied. My parents didn't want me to be dissatisfied. I remember they used to tell me, they're just jealous of you. That's why they're picking on you at school. That's why they're kidding you. And if it wasn't for that dissatisfaction, I would have never figured out how to get in shape. And if I never figured out how to get in shape, I never would have put together the plan that I have for life, which is to go find out what you need to know to fix something in your life and then fix it. None of that would have come about if I hadn't been dissatisfied about my first giant pain body, which was being overweight. Today we're talking about dissatisfaction. We've got a situation where everybody's supposed to be thankful for what they have. And I'm suggesting to you that all real action comes with dissatisfaction. And you're saying, well, Dell, you know, don't we take one day just to be happy? Yeah, I take every day to be happy. Every day should be a thankful day. But every day you should look at what is dissatisfying for you and take action steps to change that. Otherwise, your life never progresses. You get stuck where you're at. Now, one of the things that is coming out in the news right now very heavily, and I'm noticing it ourselves here at Lifestyles, is that people, now that there's international verbiage as to what's going on, people are getting other people's ideas about how to invest in real estate. And one of the long time held out rules was that people in California, East Coast and West Coast, couldn't make any money in real estate. So when they bought real estate, they were just banking on appreciation. There's no cash flow when you're paying $800,000 for a rent house in most cases. Now, once you start listening to Lifestyles Unlimited, or if you start listening to the Del Walmsley radio show, you're hearing all across the country, over 100 stations, they're hearing for the first time that you can make $400 to $500 a month in positive cash flow, and sometimes even more per house. They are dissatisfied. They're going, why am I not getting that? These people are getting appreciation also. But why am I living in a negative cash flow environment where I'm feeding this monster as I try to gain this appreciation? And they decide that they're dissatisfied. And it's that dissatisfaction with how they're investing in real estate in their state that is leading to this new phenomenon where 32%, and that's the number I'm getting out of this article here by Realtor.com, 32% of all rent houses are now owned by people out of that state. Actually, it's 31, my bad. 31% of rent houses are owned by somebody outside of that state. So we see it all the time. We've got guys out in California that own 10 rent houses, and you know, in Houston, 10 rent houses in Dallas, 10 rent houses in San Antonio. They own apartments in Houston, Dallas, San Antonio. We've now got people buying stuff in Michigan and Atlanta, Florida, and Arizona. But interestingly enough, all those are blue states. So what is the problem? The problem is the red states have messed up their real estate so bad. There's such a high demand for real estate that doesn't make any money that people are moving away from that concept. When that's all you could have, if you thought you could only own real estate right by your house, if you thought that's the only thing you could do, you had to be satisfied, right? So again, we go back to our definition of satisfaction. And just, I love this thing here. It says, confident acceptance of something as satisfactory. It's satisfactory to lose money on your real estate as long as it goes up in value. Dependable. It's a dependable situation that that's the only way to do it, and it's true that that's the only way to do it. So here you are, you're satisfied. Now you're dissatisfied because now you know that you can earn money in real estate five different ways at the same time, which I'm going to cover those later in the show in another segment. But I want you to understand that this is going on all over the country. Now, what have we done to help people with this? Before, you had to come to Houston, Dallas, or San Antonio to get our seminars, to get our education, and to get our mentoring. We now have changed that. Our seminars are on the internet. You can take them anywhere in the world. You're still welcome to come in if you want and see them live, but you can see them anywhere in the world. Our educational training has been taken over 3 years ago by a doctorate in educational process, and she has redesigned our entire educational system so that it's a nationally based system now. And hundreds and hundreds of hours of education in there, videos mostly, classes, exams, the whole bit. It's just really neat. It's getting better all the time. Different types of rollouts are coming each and every month. big rollout coming at the end of the year, the first of the year. So that's all over the place. And we've got mentors now, our national mentors. And these mentors will mentor you no matter where you're at. They can use the Skype, or they can use GoToMeeting. Whatever it takes to get the job done, they're going to mentor you on your deals. Now, see, a lot of other training programs out there would give you information. Hey, here's the right thing to do, and here's a way to do it. And I'm not agreeing that all of those have correct information. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying maybe some of them do. And let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Yet, at the same time, there's nobody there to help you do your transaction, to give you 20 or 30 years of experience in looking into the transaction you're about to do. There's no one there that's operated apartments for 20 or 30 years or houses for 20 or 30 years that can help you make these kinds of decisions on a day-to-day basis to save you years and years and years of learning by mistake instead of learning by example. And it's taking the world by surprise. It's amazing to me how many people are members now from not only all 50 states in the union, but actually other countries. So this is a level of dissatisfaction. You've got a 401k, it's making you nothing. You've got savings, it's making you nothing. And now you can walk into these deals where, you know, the average deal demand, in other words, our investors, the average deal demand is somewhere between 8 and 15% on a cash flow basis, anywhere from 50 to 100% on a capital gains basis. Those are numbers you're not seeing right now in any other investments. And this dissatisfaction with what you have and your inability to reach your retirement age with enough money to survive, that level of dissatisfaction is healthy for you. You need to get up off the couch and you need to investigate into the options you have available to you. So one of the things to be thankful about in this country is that there are options, right? And one of the things to be dissatisfied about is that you haven't chosen the most effective options out there yet. And so it's up to you, right? You can be happy with what you have. And if you have no dissatisfaction with what you don't have, then you're happy with where you're at and everything will be fine. But I'm saying to you, if you don't have that level of satisfaction and know that you're healthy, wealthy, you know, intelligent, wise, and protected and safe, then you're not where you need to be. And you need to take actions towards accomplishing those goals. That's what I'm saying, right? So if you're unhealthy, let's get you healthy. If you're broke, let's get you some income. If you've got bad credit, then you need to fix your credit. Whatever it is, the bottom line is you need to understand this. As far as financial wealth goes, the number one difference between successful people and non-successful people is successful people look for more income. Middle-class people look for ways to not spend the money they've earned, and poor people don't care about either. That's the three different lives we live in. Poor don't care. Middle try to get there by saving. And rich people look for more income. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
You're listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Stop waiting. Stop sitting around. Stop procrastinating. This is your time. Make it happen. Do it now. When's the best time? Now. People go, well, I don't know. It's going to crash. It's going to be better next year. I've got to listen to four more classes. I love guys come up to me all the time. You know, I've been listening to you on the radio for 8 years now, right? I go, and you're not rich yet? Well, really, I'm thinking about joining next month. Do it now.
Learn the skills you need to retire with real estate in 5 years or less. Do it now. Register for the Lifestyles Unlimited free online workshop, lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Today, I was looking through a couple articles that were in this magazine called Think Realty. And I think Realty is the group that gave me the award for Educator of the Year last year. And actually, I think we won it a couple of years. And as I went through the articles, there was one article they wrote that I didn't agree with at all. Not that they're wrong, or it's just I have a completely different view of it. And the other one is something I think is rather interesting. I'm kind of close on, but I think it's very interesting. So the first one is, what five things we think we're thankful for today in the real estate market? And the second article is seven ways landlords could benefit from Trump's administration. So I'm going to start with the one that I disagree with, and then I'll end on a positive note of the one that I think is rather interesting. They have a couple things they have down here as five things they think is important. One of them is transparency in real estate, and I don't know what the heck that has anything to do with anything, but you know how transparent it is. The bottom line is it is what it is. Next one is high degree of accessibility to funds, which is a true factor. There's nothing wrong with that. Third one they come up with is sweat equity pays off. I disagree with that. I don't like sweat equity. I don't like working in real estate. I like working on real estate. And I think that all the other gurus out there that tell you should go out there and bust your butt and work your butt off and is ridiculous. Wholesaling, flipping, doing your own work, painting and stuff, it's crazy. I would never do that. And anybody that I've ever taught won't do that if they want to not be laughed at, because the rest of us are getting wealthy and successful by owning businesses, not by working in them. The next one is fine education options at all levels. I find that about 90% of the educational material out there is useless on real estate training. Of course, I'm prejudiced. I believe we have the best training program in the country. Whether or not we don't, right? We've been here for 26 years and helped thousands of people retire. I don't have an exact number, so don't hold me to an exact number, but I know 26 years has been quite a few. Hundreds of people have become millionaires, and I don't know the exact number on that either because I don't track that either. But the success level is unprecedented. I can't believe that anybody else could step up and show the kind of results that we have shown on our case studies and our Telldale shows. You know, I don't think they can. I don't think they come even close. That's why I believe that most of them aren't worth, the time to take. Forget about the money they cost, the time, your time, because you're going and learning ideas on how to work harder and have a job. That doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm not all there that there's lots and lots of educational levels. I think, in fact, I feel very comfortable that there's very few educational levels that rise to the level that would allow you to become very successful. One of my arguments for that is, you know, Think Realty gave us the Educator of the Year Award a couple of years in a row. But more so, the National Apartment Association has given one of our members the Real Estate Investor Award every year for the last 9 years. Our locals, apartment association, state apartment association, and nationals has won every year for the last 9 years. So we have a lot of results. Now I'm going to go into what I think is really valuable about real estate, what we should have Thanksgiving for, and that is, number one, real estate is forgiving. You know, I've been teaching this for 26 years, and I've seen people come in here and make hundreds of thousands, even millions here. We have some members that all they care about is one rent house, and we have other members that own 30 apartment complexes and 6 or 7,000 units. Some members are happy to make an extra $1,000 a month, and some members are making $100,000+ a month. Large difference in what someone's satisfaction and dissatisfaction levels lead them to accomplish in life. Right. But one of the things that I've noted for 26 years is that many, many people come to Lifestyles after just trying real estate on their own, are going to one of those other educational package programs that gives you bad information, less than effective information, and sometimes even misinformation. And they come and it didn't work out as well as we do. But they say, you know what? I sat in your 2-day class and I saw everything that I did wrong. It was almost like you were telling my story. Because I did everything wrong you said the average person does wrong. Yet, I still made money. I'm still in a position that I'm happy that I did the investing. I could have done way more. But still, I got through it, even though I messed a lot of things up. This ability to be forgiving is unbelievable. Let's talk about the stock market. What happens if tomorrow something goes wrong in the world and the stock market drops 400 points, 500 points, 1,000 points? Can you get out of the way of that? I don't think so. I don't think you can get out of the way of it at all. It's like having a guy with a gun at your head saying, if you don't give me your money, I'm going to shoot you. You can't move quick enough to get away from him. On the other hand, if you go out there and get in front of a train, the guy goes, I got a train coming down that track. So I want you to hear it. It's big. It's giant. It could kill you. It's dangerous. And if you don't do what I say, I'm going to let that train come. You're going to laugh at the guy and walk off the edge of the tracks. Because it's going to take a while for the train to get there. So right now, we got Trump coming in here. And Trump has said he's going to raise interest rates. He believes the Fed is too intrusive. And they're going to let the rates go back up again so that savers have interest. And think about that. As an investor, you might go, no, I don't want the interest rates to go back up. Because then I can't buy them. My real estate is cheap, you know, with payments as cheap and as low as they are. But then mom and pop savers out there who have, you know, $100,000 in the bank and that's their life savings, they're earning less than 1%. If interest rates go back up, then they have more income. So is interest rates going up bad or good? And the answer is both. It's wherever you are positioned. So what are you going to do if interest rates change? In real estate, we're going to reposition. We're already locked down in interest rates. The interest rate lockdown that I'm in is anywhere from 3.8 to 4.5. That's locked in. It's locked in for 10 years. If interest rates go up 6, 7, 8%, it doesn't hurt me at all. In fact, what will happen is it'll make the people that can't absorb those types of interest rate changes have to sell their real estate, get out from underneath of it, and I'll be able to go in there and buy 50 cents on the dollar, and I'll get and become even wealthier. I'll have even more income and more assets. It will be a wonderful thing because I will position myself to be ready for that rate change. Right? On the other hand, when interest rates went down, we were in a position to change our position. We were able to adjust, and we went out and refinanced all of our real estate down into low, very low interest rates and locked it in. We have the position, or we have the ability to move around in our positions. When real estate prices got very, very, very high, I was out there selling real estate. I sold four apartment complexes last year. I thought the market peaked last year. Now, the overconstruction in Houston area has brought the Class A prices down, where they were going up, 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 unrealistically selling these things on pro forma. There's absolutely no way to make any money. And now I'm seeing a softening in that Class A market. Now, hold tight when you hear this. Class A market, not everything. And I'm positioning myself to take advantage of that softening in that Class A market because it's going to happen. And if interest rates go up even more, then it's going to soften that market even more. And I want to be there. When that guy who didn't anticipate rates going up, didn't anticipate Trump winning, when that guy who had a construction loan that ran out and now he can't find permanent financing that fits his plan, he has to sell that apartment for what he built it for, makes no profit, maybe even lose a little money. I want to be that guy. I want to be sitting there ready to take advantage of that situation. Because I'm that guy on that train track. I can jump off either side of that train track and be safe. But if you're at the end of that gun, that bullet will take you out. So that's the number one thing I like about real estate, is how flexible and forgiving real estate can be. Second thing I like about real estate is the fact that you earn your money five different ways. Today we've been discussing dissatisfaction as opposed to satisfaction, following along the lines that you may be happy with what you have, another be thankful for what you have, but you don't have to be satisfied with what you have. There is way more out there if you want it. And unless you have dissatisfaction, you're never going to get anywhere near it. So one of the dissatisfactions is the ability to invest this day and age has lowered the rates of return for investors down to almost nothing. If you're sitting there on bonds and you were going to retire on bonds before when bonds were 10% or 15%, CDs were 15%, you had $1 million in the bank, you live on $150,000 a year and you were well off. Right now at less than 1% interest rate, you know, or maybe 1% in well-picked interest rate scenarios, you really can't retire on that $1 million. So when you look at real estate, you're seeing that you're getting five different types of income at the same time. And this is why people are changing over to real estate. I'm going to go down those very quickly. One of them is cash flow. You know, when you buy a bond, you're earning, 1, 2, 3%. We've got cash flows anywhere from 8 to 30%. And, they're all up and down the board there. But the bottom line is it's well in excess of the stuff that you're getting on bonds or any other cash flow-based investment, including stocks, pay dividends. The second one is captured equity. You know, you can't go into a stock that's worth $100 and buy it for $80. We can go into a house that's worth $100,000 and buy it for $80,000. We are capturing income right up front. You can't do that in stocks. It just doesn't happen. You buy and sell whatever the market is. The next one is tax benefits. We are the lowest taxed for-profit business there is out there. If done correctly, you can pretty much avoid paying taxes completely if done correctly. You just have to know how to do it, and we'll teach you how to do it. Appreciation. Yes, this is the least on my list of things, but houses do appreciate. You know, over time, they go up in value, right? And the last one is forced capital gains. We go in and buy something. We fix it up. It goes up in value. And it goes up usually more in value than what we did to fix it up. Now, by the way, you have to do it the right way and know what you're doing to do that. But if you go in to buy an apartment complex and you make the right changes, you can make an apartment go from $1 million to $2 million of value in a 1 year period of time. Now, if you've got 20% leverage or 25% leverage, you're talking about 400% capital gain. Think about it. You got 25% of the money down on, which would be $250,000. And if it goes up $1 million in value, you've just made four times your investment. You can't do that in other stocks, bonds, or other investments. It's just not out there except in real estate. And in real estate, it happens on a more regular basis than I would even want to tell you, because you might misconstrue that I was making promises that couldn't be kept. So I'm just saying, hey, more than you'd ever believe, people are getting fabulous returns. The next thing I like about real estate is leverage. What business can you go into where they'll give you the money to do the business? You want to go start a grocery store? You think they'll lend you the money? Heck, it's almost impossible to get small business loans, especially with all the regulations and all the stuff. Getting and borrowing money is very difficult. Just think about you going to try to buy your own personal residence, how difficult that they make that feel. Yet in our business, the real estate is the value, and they are what we call self-collateralized loans. In other words, the real estate stands for the loan. You don't have to stand for the loan. The real estate stands for the loan. So I can go borrow $50 million. I don't have to give them a guarantee $50 million. I don't have to guarantee them anything. They just give me the loan because the buildings are worth more than $50 million. There's no number like that. So whether it's a $5 million deal, $10 million, $20 million, $30 or $50, the bottom line is the real estate stands for the loan, not the investor. The next one is ease of entry. You know, whether you start in a first single family rent house or your first small apartment complex deal, the ease of entry is so different. If you wanted to go, and I watch all the time these shows, I love the show Billion Dollar Buyer, with Tillman Fertitta. I love the show Shark Tank, and I love the show The Profit. And if you look at these people starting their own businesses, they are struggling. And most of them are making almost no money at all. And they're working, you know, 10, 12, 14 hours a day in this business and struggling if you watch these shows. And then these guys that know what they're doing come in and go like, you're all wrong. Your process is wrong. Your people are wrong. Your whole system's wrong. You don't know what you're doing. You can't get into those businesses unless you have your parents give you $300,000 or you get this from somebody else or whatever. Real estate, you go buy a rent house, and if you do it correctly in the right market place, you can get in for next to nothing. And I'm saying every single deal is next to nothing. In fact, nowadays, most of the deals are not next to nothing down. But every once in a while, you'll still see people come to Case Study and go, I got in for nothing down on this deal. And let's just take the average, nothing down to $25,000. You know, you've got a range there of $10,000, $15,000, that doesn't keep people out of business. Whereas other businesses would take much more than that to get started. And the last one I like is the scalability. You can start at real estate with one rent house, and you can work your way to 10, 20, 50. I had over 100 rent houses before I got out of the house business. You can go buy one apartment for 10 units, and you can scale that business to 1,000 units, or you can scale that business to 5,000 units. whatever it is, as you learn the systems, the ability to continue to grow your business is so flexible that's going to leave you in a better position than you would be trying to start any other business out there that I know of. It's just easy comparatively to other businesses. The scalability is unbelievable. Start where you can afford to get in and build your way to wherever you want to be is pretty much the way it's going to work. So as we go through all these things today, we're talking about satisfaction, dissatisfaction, and Thanksgiving. Let me remind you, we're not doing this just to have a few more dollars in the bank, a little more money. We're doing it to have an incredible lifestyle, to satisfy our family, friends, relatives, religion, and everything else in life that's important to us.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.